What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another edition of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 4, Episode 10, The Patriot. We have so much great stuff to talk about tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I always get so, like, jazzed for the after show when I hear the swell of that music.
Oh, yeah.
It's so exciting. Every single time.
I need to understand what the, oh, yeah.
No, it's just like it feels good. Like, this
it
music
feels
gets me pumped.
That felt like it felt a little too good.
Look, it wouldn't be the first time.
Well, guys, hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another edition of the After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking about The Patriot tonight. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Tehran.
I am Tehran. Literally, at I am Tehran all across the social media atmosphere. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
What's please atmosphere?
It's just an atmosphere of social media.
Oh, okay.
It's like the world of social media. I call it an atmosphere.
I thought it was a new one.
Look, exactly. There's new stuff all the time.
There is.
Atmosphere could be a new
it could be anything.
Social, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what else there is left to share.
I feel like there's a kid at home that's about to make $1 billion off atmosphere, and it started right here.
Copyrighted. Guys,
I'm
Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at @ZachWilson.
And unfortunately, Jesse Klein couldn't be here tonight. He is under
Jerk.
The weather. So please tweet him at JessKlein1. Send him your well wishes, guys. We hope he feels better soon. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. We are also going to be following along with the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as keeping an eye on the live chat.
Eventually, I will.
Yeah, I have to apologize in advance, guys. The hashtag is going to be a little bit slow. My phone is having issues connecting to the Wi-Fi as well. So we
no,
are
but I got
do our
you
best.
In the chat.
Sweet. All right, guys. What did we think of this episode? Because part of me is just so self-satisfied because it's not every day that our predictions come true.
You guys called it. I was watching like, yo, you guys honestly called it.
I called it like anyone who watched Marvel Movie News this morning, like I called it to a T. This morning I just went, it's probably like a serum in there, and it may be like Mr. Hyde's concoction, something like that. And I thought, oh, there's no way it's actually going to be Mr. Hyde's. I think that's just a throwaway junk theory. But I was right.
You guys, you were right.
But the flip side of being right is that you kind of have to come to the realization that you're starting to be able to predict what this show is going to be doing. And normally that's not too bad, but we had such a great twist with Radcliffe being the one pulling the strings rather than Ada just being a crazy robot. I want to know, what did you guys think of this episode playing out exactly the way we expected? For me, I was satisfied with this episode, but there is something a little underwhelming about not being surprised at all.
I had much the same feeling. I like the way they did it for Mace. I think overall, like where we were when we started, like we thought, oh, he might be evil. He's working against us. It's better than that. I didn't want an evil Jeffrey Mace.
Yeah.
So I think the twist is nice that it's like, oh, the like secretive politician that like is doing nefarious things is actually doing them for all the right reasons, because we don't get that a lot.
No.
Also, might be the most unrealistic thing on this show.
Hilarious.
How about you, Tara? How do you feel?
I was excited, first of all, that you guys were right. When I was watching, I was like, yes, they called it. I thought that the fact that Phil still allows Mace to be the head at the end but was like, I'm calling the shots, but you're going to be the head. I liked that and felt like, I don't know if it's that you're able to call the show, or maybe you guys are just that good.
We're just that in tune.
Just that good and in tune with the show, because I actually enjoyed this episode and agree with Zach where it's like, yes, he is the politician, but was doing it for all the right... He was lying for all the right reasons. If you're going to lie, these are good reasons. I still think there's a possibility that he's in charge of the evilness that's...
Oh, you still think that he could be a potential mole or a potential leak?
Basically, I want to be right once, too.
Look,
just stick to your guns.
We cheer about being right because I have said some of the most insanely wrong theories on this show. There was a whole stretch where I thought that Coulson was going to turn out to be Mar-Vell.
Hilarious.
Like, if you go back and listen to season one, like when I was just like a fill-in on this panel, I was spouting that like it was the gospel.
Oh, and he was saying that, you know, the character that came to be known as Quake was actually Miss Marvel. And that, like, we were just waiting for the origin story.
I had some crazy stuff.
From what I've seen, you guys, this panel, you guys are amazing on the panel. Even the panel that I used to just watch going into being actually invited to be on the panel, you guys actually have some of the most fun predictions. True.
Some of them are a little out there.
Some are a little out there, but a lot of them are very viable predictions. It's not like it's far-fetched now that you know what happened, but if that had happened, you would have been like, oh,
hindsight's 2020. Yeah,
exactly.
But as this episode played out, like, it was good. Like, it didn't, like, blow our minds or anything. The way that, like, the Radcliffe twist, like, genuinely surprised me last week.
Yeah, it was very unexpected.
Look, not every episode's going to be twisty like that, and it doesn't need to be. It was only because they promoted this as, like, what is the secret?
What's in the briefcase?
I think this was a really good filler episode because it set up a lot of, we need to see what's going to happen in the next three episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it filler, but it's just kind of like I don't want to call it paint by numbers either because that sounds so condescending.
No, it wasn't paint by numbers. Like, yeah, it wasn't like this was structurally something we've seen 100 times. It was just like we knew what was going to happen and then it happened.
Yeah, and granted, we don't know what's going to happen next week. So I feel like this is as you pointed out, a really good setup episode where it's like we're going to put all of these pieces out and we're just going to knock down the dominoes in the next episode.
This was also a good episode for S.H.I.E.L.D. to sort of reset where it is, in a sense. Like, it, like, okay, we've moved our pieces around. It's the mid-season point. We've restructured the power dynamics here so that now, by the end of the episode, Phil is back in command, even if not publicly the face, because technically he's dead, and that opens up a whole can of worms that we cannot talk about.
We can't.
It's like way too much. If Phil becomes publicly the face of S.H.I.E.L.D., then you have to answer, like, why is, like, Tony Stark not, like, coming and being like, what the hell?
Nick Fury is going to start getting a lot of, like, furious text messages.
Furious, ha. Huh?
Boo. I hate myself.
Megan did it this time.
You did it.
Didn't even
Megan
mean to.
Hates puns.
I do. You know what? I don't hate them as much as I say that I do, but yeah, not a fan, generally speaking.
Lean into the character you created, Megan.
In this instant, they are the worst thing that they could possibly ever be. But yeah, if that were to happen, as you said, Zach, the Marvel Cinematic Universe would become even more separated from the TV shows because we just can't acknowledge that that's a thing without dealing with the consequences for all of the Avengers who know Coulson.
So
new.
Yeah.
New, yeah.
That was one of the saddest things in the movie.
It absolutely was. Of course. Was the thing that brought them together.
It's always been the thing that, like, I'm torn on with S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like, when you rewatch the Avengers, it sort of takes away from that moment a little bit. But I I love S.H.I.E.L.D. so much that, like, I wouldn't want to take it away. It does
diminish. It does diminish that moment. I know exactly how you feel because when I rewatched it, I was like, you're not dead.
I thought the same thing. I was like, no, I mean, it's comic books. He'll come back. And sure enough, he did. And there have been a lot of people that have made the argument that that diminishes death as a whole in the Marvel Universe. I think that the show itself did a really good job of kind of stepping around that to show the actual horrible ramifications of bringing someone back from the dead. But that, again, is another discussion. Speaking of, you know, agents who bite the big one, there were a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. cannon fodder agents in this particular episode, particularly Burroughs, who... I think as you were pointing out, Zach, has the saddest last words
in television history. If you guys didn't catch his last words, he gets out of his seat to, like, look for a cell phone signal and then goes, if I can just get some bars, I can see if we're trending, and then dies.
And then he dies, which was, that was very... It was poetic, and somehow it's poetic justice.
Oh, because he's been such a crony this entire time.
And that was a crony thing to say, and he dies, and those are his last words. They're going to be on his tombstone. They're going to be on his tombstone!
Agent Burroughs, he died as he lived, checking Twitter. Oh,
trending.
Lord.
Oh, yeah, that's about
poor
right.
Poor guy.
Sad trumpet.
Sad.
And
trumpet.
I don't think this time his death is pretty permanent. I don't think they bring Burroughs. I don't feel like they're bringing Burroughs back.
We saw the body.
Burroughs
is gone. And there wasn't a cutscene that we missed because of broadcast issues.
This time you saw the body. Burroughs is gone. He's done.
Which I did go watch, by the way.
We're very sorry for last week, guys. But talking about Mace's character in this particular episode, I really like that Coulson gave him the opportunity to step up and, you know, continue doing what he's been doing and actually be an effective agent while, you know, I mean, that's what spy work is. It's all about, you know, bluffing and lying and being able to...
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No.
Just right from the beginning, he is... Like, we see Coulson, like, in action. Like, they're just monitoring the opening, the press conference, which is outside for some reason. The least secure way to hold a press conference of, the leader of your... Like, the FBI does not hold outdoor press conferences.
But it was just such a lovely day.
Yeah. But he doesn't even need to see the shooter. He just sees the lack of their own guy.
Mm-hmm. Side note.
I was going to say, the President of the United States does hold some of his press conferences sometimes outside, and the FBI sometimes do as well.
Do
but
they?
Right on the steps. But that's also, you know, I'm sure they have a lot of security. You would think that they would have a lot of security, especially, you're not just the FBI director, you are the inhuman director of a spy agency that shouldn't even technically exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the normal number of agents, like, surrounding the perimeter is, triple it, for sure.
Another cool thing from that scene, there's a it's all connected moment in this whole thing when because the bullet that when all the sparks start flying, I made an audible like yelling noise when I was watching because I got excited because it's the bullets from Luke Cage. It's the Judas bullets, which are made in... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Minor spoilers.
Go ahead.
It's not a plot spoiler. But there's a bullet that they introduce on Luke Cage that is made out of Chitauri metal.
Oh, okay.
That can drill into whatever you shoot at it and then explodes. So it was just like a little way for them to be like, we know Luke Cage happened.
I just outed myself as not having seen Luke Cage yet. Guys, it's on my list. It took me over a year to watch Daredevil, so I apologize. I will get to it as soon as I can.
You haven't watched Luke Cage yet?
Not yet, no.
I don't typically judge people.
You're judging me right now.
I'm just saying I typically don't.
It took me forever to get around to Daredevil and Jessica Jones. So
sweet Christmas. What is keeping you?
Sorry. Life, usually. A lot of times being at this studio.
Marvel is life.
It is. It is. But talking about that complete sidebar, I really appreciate the way Mac looks in, like, Secret Service getup. Because normally he's wearing his, like, mechanic getup. He looks really good in a suit and tie and sunglasses. Just saying.
Usually, I would be like, I would just dismiss that comment. But I have to be honest. Even when I saw him, I was like, okay, Mac. It befit him. All of a sudden, I really took him a lot more serious. I enjoy it. I was like, wow, okay, Mac, I see. I see what Yo-Yo's talking about.
Get it, Yo-Yo, right?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, that was a complete sidebar.
Even I noticed. I was like, really? Wow, this guy.
You're getting shamed by the chat.
We're not having seen Luke Cage yet. I'll get to it, guys. I know. I'm the worst. I'm garbage. I'll get to it. Anyway.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Shame.
It's the show. Oh, my gosh.
Is it supposed to be ringing?
It's supposed to say
shame.
Shouldn't it be?
Do the thing.
Gong. Gong. There we go.
It's supposed to make a bell.
It's okay. That's close enough. I appreciate the effort. There we go.
Yeah,
there it is. Shame.
Yay! I'm getting shamed.
Hear he.
It took me so long. It's the worst joke.
Okay, guys. So, I really appreciated the way this kind this storyline in particular kind of wrapped up, because it's sort of it. It makes perfect sense. We talked about it being a little bit predictable, but it makes perfect sense given what we know about Talbot and the way he's always dealt with S.H.I.E.L.D. So it makes perfect sense that when charged with, you know, assigning the next director, he would do something like this. Now, do you guys actually think there were, quote-unquote, no inhuman candidates that fit the bill? Or do you guys think that he was being genuine when he's like, we couldn't find anybody, so we made one?
I think there was nobody that they found agreeable. Like, if you think about the powered people that exist in this world, think about any single person, like, in the MCU that has a power, that, and you're like, yeah, we would trust that person with a clandestine organization.
And that's the thing. I do agree. And they picked the perfect politician. And that's what they wanted, and that's what they needed at the time.
Yeah.
And they got him, and as much as everyone was making fun of Mace the whole time, as we said, he turned out to be the perfect person for this job.
Yep.
And he did it, as far as we can tell, sincerely and out of the goodness. Like, he was like, when your nation calls, you go and perform that duty.
And to be fair, when he got real with Coulson at the very end, he admits, he's like, I wasn't trying to take credit for this moment in time that got, you know, the snapshot that they got in Vienna, where he's just stumbling around, didn't even see the person underneath the rubble. And he's like, I didn't even see her. And everybody who kept saying, oh, wow, what a hero, I kept trying to deflect them, and they just thought I was being modest. I mean, he probably could have set the record straight, but it's really hard to do that when you're getting so much positive affirmation from everyone.
It also is a perfect weighted, like, it's the perfect MCU adaptation of the comic book version of Jeffrey Mace. So it's like, Mace, the whole thing was that he was Captain America for a stretch, but they did it, like, retroactively in order to serve the Steve Rogers Frozen in Time story. They were like, oh yeah, that collection of stories for a bunch of years, that was a different person as Captain America, but he was pretending to be Steve Rogers. So it fits perfectly that he's pretending to be somebody that he's not in order to help the American government. And he is a patriot. Like what you were just saying, like, when your country... That line is like, that's totally a Steve Rogers line. When your country calls you, you answer.
Now, here's the question. Do you guys think he's going to continue taking this discount Hyde formula? Why? In order to maintain his super strength in the event they need him to do so in the field.
I think he needs to continue taking it because that is the public persona and he's still supposed to be an inhuman. And I think there's also more to it because they made mention that they got rid of the side effects, and then he says, well, not all of them. And we need to know what that not all of them is.
Why? Don't use the Hyde formula, guys. That is the worst, next to gamma radiation. What's wrong with you?
Both of which I would expose myself to in order to,
gain superpowers.
Radioactive spider something, you know? I would need something.
I took that as more of like a jokey line than like a side, than there's like a serious side effects line.
Like, there, it's just meant to be kind of funny. There's not going to be serious ramifications later
on. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that at least that's how it read to me.
I hope not, because it does seem to wear off after a certain amount of time. Here's hoping, but if they ever bring Robbie Reyes back, I mean, Hyde's drugs were a big part of that first storyline for Robbie Reyes.
Yeah.
So who knows?
But that was more, Hyde was involved in Robbie's story as a scientist, not really just like just the formula.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
The thing is, like, I don't have any problem with them using it. Like, yeah, it's lying, but it's not a bad thing. It's a white lie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't have any problem with them using it moving forward. I have a problem with it being the Hyde formula just because we saw that go terribly wrong.
And I think that, I do think there will be repercussions from it. I think something will come out of it. But on now that key people know, which means that by the end of 5 minutes from then, everyone knows. Because they tell everyone everything. Like, they share everything all the time.
Exactly. All the important people
exactly.
are going to know.
They're all going to know. They're going to look at Mace differently. They are. Yeah. And his powers much differently.
Yeah, and especially, and this is where I want to start talking about Gemma and Fitz. Because Gemma has had the longest sort of strained relationship with Mace because of all of these protocol issues. And for a long time, she was climbing the ladder to get close to him, finding dirt on him, doing everything she could to try to keep things the way that they were. Now the power dynamic has shifted back. But as we can see, there's clearly going to be a lot of friction between her and Fitz because Fitz is going behind her back again. Which I will say, the one thing that did really surprise me in this episode was, you know, Simmons being hardcore is not surprising at all. We know that at this point. But Fitz taking Ada's head and actively downloading it to try to troubleshoot and fix whatever it was after telling Radcliffe to lay low and after being told himself, it's time to let the project go, let's move on, our friends are in danger. Fitz taking that step with Ada's head genuinely surprised me.
Well, it's actually kind of like it was interesting because last episode they kind of put it out as if it was cheating in some way, and they kind of dealt with it as if it was a form of infidelity. She forgives him, and then he goes and does it behind her back again, and also knows that it's wrong. And he doesn't even admit what he did was wrong. He says, what I did was wrong. What I did wrong was not tell you. Not the fact that I did this in the first place.
Yeah, it was that I got caught.
Exactly. Exactly. That kind of, like, it's very analogous to just infidelity.
I mean, he is science cheating on her a little bit.
Science
yeah.
cheating.
He is. He is.
He's doing scientific endeavors without her. Yeah.
I mean, it's not by the definition of the term infidelity, but it is cheating in the sense that any time where you're in a very serious relationship with someone and you are doing something major that you are actively lying to your significant other about,
yeah,
it falls very much in the same category.
Wow, Zach, who hurt you, bro? Like, that was really
no.
Well
I agree 100%. If you are telling that big of a lie and keeping it from your significant other, that there is clearly an issue, and you have trust issues that you clearly got to work out in couples counseling.
And it's also criminal. What he's doing is also criminal. We
that
kind of
too.
Forget about that. It's actually illegal. It is against the courts. He knows that, and he's still trying to do it. And there have been it's not like Ada just malfunctioned. She killed a bunch of people. So he knows
one. She killed one guy.
Yeah, it was gruesome. She was going after many more. Okay.
I mean, she was trying to get a hold
she
of
was
the
trying
dark
to kill.
She didn't kill anyone when she came in the base.
Okay,
she made a point of it.
She tried to kill almost everyone she came in contact with in rooms. Like, she was, like, going for blood.
I will say that I do want to throw this out there. Do we think he is doing it strictly for the science? Because as a scientist, he wants this to be perfect. He wants to see this project through to the end. Or do we think he's more motivated by the desire to protect his friends as Ada was originally intended to do? Or is it both?
That's a good question. I'm going to go with, I love the speech he gave. He's like, I created her basically to protect you. I don't buy it. I'm going with,
you call BS?
I'm going with he's doing it because there's something there that he personally enjoys deep down. Why else would he do it? There's other ways to protect that are legal, but he wants to create. He wants to create Ada. He wants to make it. start something and finish it. And it's just, that's scientific nature.
Okay. I think that's a very valid opinion. I think he's I feel like it's for the science too, but the way he's justifying it to himself is by saying, oh no, this is for everyone else.
Yeah, it's kind of like the creation of the atomic bomb. It's not, they're not thinking, oh, all these people are going to die. They're just like, we're justifying it with themselves.
And justify the means, yeah.
But they want to be able to create this and see the bang. But they didn't want people to die, sure, all that stuff, but they still did it. It was a form of repercussion for that action. And it's very similar in that nature.
You spent so much time trying to ask if you could. You never stopped to think maybe whether you should.
Ooh, good use.
That was my
God creates
attempt to channel Jeff Goldblum.
Great.
God destroys dinosaurs.
Great. You're bringing it back.
God creates LMDs. No. God creates man. Man creates LMDs. LMDs destroy man. LMDs inherit the earth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Well, now LMD May.
Yeah.
Pretty much has like knows what's up.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about like Robo May or LMD May.
I like Robo May. That's way easier to say.
But yeah, let's talk about Robo May and let's talk about the actual May, because actual May is talking about things that are not surprising. It is in no way surprising that you put May in a day spa and she's going to be immediately uncomfortable and suspicious.
Not to mention the other time that anyone has ever been in a spa-like situation on this show, it was Tahiti.
Exactly.
This isn't right. Yeah, I wonder if they did that kind of like as an intentional nod to season one of just, it's a magical place. Everything is great and wonderful, and there's sunshine and rainbows,
Tahiti.
And beaches.
Yeah, I have a prediction on this, but I'll save it for...
You'll save it for predictions?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I like... Because we touched on this a little bit last week, too, because we weren't quite sure if May, or Robo May, was aware that she is, in fact, an LMD. And as they point out in this episode, she is not aware of it. So... In this episode, she gets cut up and actually ends up seeing the metal underneath her flesh. What's going through her mind right now, guys?
Well, she has a lot of questions. I don't know if she's actually solved all of them because she doesn't feel... Android May doesn't feel like an android. Android May is now going through all the thought processes that we might go through if we found out we were aliens. Well, you would be question it and think, whoa, and try to investigate it on your own. And then she doesn't know what her actual purpose is yet.
Yeah.
Because it's subconscious.
Well, and not knowing that she's an LMD, it brings up the question, it doesn't seem like she's mimicking emotions at this point. It seems like she's actually actively feeling them. And again, this is where we get into, is this AI? Because is she actually, you know, feeling the things that she feel? Or is she just kind of mimicking what May would be doing without any of the emotion attached to it? Because we get some very emotional scenes between her and Daisy and all of the things that May would be feeling for Coulson in this situation.
She's sitting in the car by herself, just reminiscing and able to tell a story and connecting. She's having empathetic thoughts. She's a sympathetic character.
She's a Cylon!
And the hate is so real.
She's a fracking Cylon, guys.
I think it's very much like those moments from that show whenever a character like discovered that they were a Cylon. It's just like you're like, no, there has to be another explanation. I mean, Phil's got a metal hand. Like, maybe I have a metal shoulder blade I never knew about.
I mean, it's entirely possible that she thinks, oh, shoot, something happened to me and S.H.I.E.L.D. fixed me and I have no knowledge of it.
Yeah. She might have that thought. I think that she, like, with the LMDs running around, like, that thought has to be going through her head.
But at the same time, she also hides it very quickly. So she's not asking questions. She knows that something's wrong. She does, I don't know if she thinks that S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
did this.
I mean, the real May would probably hide it too.
Yeah, hide it before. She would probably hide it until she could investigate and know what's going on.
And come to a conclusion herself.
Also, there's also the question of, like, how much of it is programming? Like, if Robo May is discovered, is programmed that if she discovers it to hide the. Like, it could just be that. Like, he could have, like,
just
programmed her that
procedure,
in that much detail. Like, because he has to think, like, she's going out into the field. Like, she's gonna get shot or, like, stabbed at some point. The real May gets shot all the time.
Poor May.
Yeah, for real. Poor Robo May. Ugh. Poor baby. I did feel for her in this moment where it's one of those things. I have a soft spot for, like, robots who actually do start to feel emotion, as much as we love, like, making Terminator references and things like that. I felt really bad for her. And there was a moment, too, right after the fight scene where I thought she was going to get discovered after, you know, having bent that little saw blade thing. So she's been programmed to feel pain, too, or at least react like she feels pain. I have so many questions for you, Radcliffe. What the heck?
I definitely think that this is something that we'll find out a lot more in the next episode. We need to examine this May thing. Now it's come to a head.
For sure. But before we talk about anything else, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. We love the fact that we have an international audience. It warms our hearts, and those international iTunes comments also definitely count. We can't see them, so take a screen cap of it and send it to us. And if you guys leave a comment on the iTunes store, you'll be sure to get a shout out on the show.
Yeah, you sure will next week when I get the internet working.
No! Oh, in the future you'll get a shout out on the show. But legitimately speaking, guys, it makes us more searchable. It helps keep the lights on in here.
Oh, wait, vamp for another minute.
Hold on.
Wait.
Because I need to hear from Phil Coulson's left hand.
We get to stay at this lovely table, all of us, and look at all these lovely lights in this lovely studio. So please go to iTunes, rate, subscribe. And we also love hearing from you guys on the YouTubes. It's always
fun.
Yeah,
we've got a few new reviews.
Woo-hoo!
This week. Yeah, we got a bunch.
Good job, Zach.
Not from Phil Coulson's left hand this week, though.
The saga's on pause.
J.R. Mills says, love this show. Can't wait to have it back for the second half of the season. Excelsior! Callie Joe 19, hey, my favorite agents a couple weeks ago. I missed my favorite show in even better after show. So I went back in Netflix Shield and then listened to every AfterBuzz episode again. That's commitment.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Cassia Lind, highlight of my mornings. Megan has such an amazing positive energy to her, and the panel, even as it changes, is always made up of such great, knowledgeable, funny, and really kind people.
Aww.
I think that was directed
at
you, Teron.
Thanks, Mom. I appreciate it. That was the nicest message ever. It's got to be someone I'm related to. I don't know.
From I Do Not Ship Shady Mariah. it's very long, but thank you for the 5-star review. I do not ship Shady Mariah.
I have no idea what that means.
It means that he does not ship Shady Mariah. Like,
she's so shady.
Yeah, and he doesn't ship her.
No.
Well, there you go. I always look forward to Phil Coulson's left hand. And I'm thinking that someone is possibly too sick to write it this week.
You suspect Jesse of being Phil Coulson's left hand?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Interesting.
It is an interesting theory.
As well, as we transition out of this, I have a question that I want to pose to you guys.
Sure.
And you guys listening or watching, either tweet at us your thoughts or leave me the comments below. Because my thought watching this, we were talking about the Mr. Hyde formula and, like, benefit loss or whatever. Do you think it would have been a stronger moment if it turned out that he was injecting himself with inhuman growth hormone?
Ooh, because that has some very negative, like, implications in terms of what they're doing.
Well, where they're getting it from.
where they're getting it from. I mean, we did have an entire branch of the government, you know, that was kidnapping inhumans and putting them in, like, little gel containers and suspended
jars.
Animation. Like, the idea that the government could do that to people and then harvest their genetic material against their will. And, yeah, no, that's all sorts of not great.
I mean, because you have mutant growth hormone in the comics.
Of course.
And so, like, it which they basically, for anybody who doesn't read them obsessively, like, we might, like, you're basically extracting the DNA, like, whatever, like, the mutant gene, and injecting it into either normal people, and it's, like, giving them powers for a brief amount of time, or mutants whose powers are weaker and making them stronger.
I think that it would have made us darker. Not like Mace at all, because that would have been just too
Although
far
he didn't,
gone.
He didn't question the science
he
behind it,
He didn't question
though.
The science behind it, but at that point, we kind of know what that science is. Whether you understand what's going on or not, we know what that is. It's like, I don't know how Tylenol works, but I know it
you
works,
You just
right?
know it makes your headache go away.
Yeah, but once you start using Oxycontin... Now you're kind of, you I don't know
you
how that works.
You should start asking a few
you
more
might
questions.
Want to ask a couple questions. It's just now we're going down the wrong path. I feel like and that's not Mace's character. That's not Mace's character. Even though I'm still pining for the twist where he happens to be behind all the stuff going on, I don't want him to be. He's still likable, and we see that he still has a noble side, even if it's not truth. In the nobility, it's still nobility.
Yeah, he wanted it all to be true. Like, this is, like, he says, like, he wanted to be that person. Like, that's how he always wanted to be viewed, is as the person who could save the day and be the hero. He just never was that person. But he literally tripped into the situation. He literally fell into the situation, and...
If they want to call me a hero, then that's what I'll be.
He'll roll with it, because it's the... Yes, it's lying. It's him lying. But if him lying helps people accept inhumans
and believe,
then great. We'll keep lying, because it doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah,
until you're in a dangerous situation.
But he was brave in this episode. Like, honestly, it took a lot of bravery.
I feel like it hurt Burroughs.
It took true nobility to go in front of those
let's see mercenaries trending
to those mercenaries. Why do we laugh at Burroughs' death?
Because he was a jerk.
I didn't want when he died. I didn't want to not. Feel anything, but I smirked when he died, and I feel horrible for that. I'm supposed to care.
Whoops.
But that's the thing. Like, Mace was still brave when he went in front of the mercenaries.
Yeah, they could have shot him in the head at any moment.
He still went for it.
Yeah, and he was already shot at that point too. Like, we forget he's like. That hurts. It's not like they shot him up with morphine. He had to put on a performance through a lot of pain, and also with his head as a clear target for everybody that he's giving this speech to, you know, pretending like he's still in control of the situation. So we have a comment on Twitter from Wessiger, who says, blown away by how good this episode was, and also that they loved the callback to the Zabo and the Hyde formula. So I have to agree, but like... No matter what, whether it's human growth hormone, you know, not human growth hormone, inhuman growth hormone, or you know, the Hyde formula like we've gone with here, or even if it had been, which I thought it was going to be a separate strand trying to recreate the super soldier serum, like we have a lot of superheroes. I always think of Black Cat from Spider-Man, who got her powers because of a... You know, people trying to recreate the super soldier serum. There's always the possibility that it's going to go terribly wrong, that it's going to affect you in some physically horrible way. And I just really worry about Mace. I feel like he's fine because it wears off. But, oh, man, if it had been inhuman growth hormone, like, I feel like it could have gotten... We could have gone real Akira really fast. Yeah. And that would have upset me a lot. Oh, but, yeah, do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode before we move into some news and gossip?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk some news.
All right, let's talk some news and gossip.
All right, normally I try not to look at, like, announcements too far ahead, like, or that... announcements that are like right around the corner, to like episode synopsis and stuff. Yeah. But this one was too cool that other people were telling me about it, and I need to share it. So
please
fun.
Share it. You built it up. I want to hear.
In 2 weeks, on the 31st, Patton Oswalt is returning to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as the Koenigs.
Yeah!
That's a thing.
And not just that, but they apparently are. We're going to learn the secret of this family.
I was going to say, is this where and we get the reveal is, that they're all LMD?
It is somehow. Well, that doesn't line up time wise.
No, it doesn't.
But it is somehow connected to the Darkhold.
Whoa!
No.
So my first thought was, what if the Koenigs as an entire family are the Darkhold Redeemers, which is a secret society that is sworn to guard and, like, hide the Darkhold from the world.
They did a terrible job.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they buried it in some guy's basement.
Oh, yeah.
they buried it very, in Johnny.
Very Koenig-like, though.
Yeah, fair.
It could be that they're more just like the like Coulson's like idea of the Darkhold Redeemer, where it's like, no, you guys need to hide this. Like, that's his way to hide it, is to like pass it between them. Because the episode is called Hot Potato Soup.
Oh, wow.
So if it's just like them like constantly passing it to a different brother, the image that they released from it, appears to be one of the Koenigs, could be Sam, could be Billy, could be one we haven't met, in, and I don't have this to show you guys, but you can look it up, Entertainment Weekly put it out, I'll show you, it's one of them in a comedy club called the Soul Patch. You can't make this up. Well, the writers did.
Well, you can, because they did.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, that's going to be a thing in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's
so look forward to that.
That is a treat, is what that is. I'm so excited. Yeah, I think that does it for news and gossip. Let's go ahead and roll on into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, here's a question. Because Radcliffe and Ada have decided to change up the scenario for Agent May, do we think the entire next episode is just going to be a dream?
That part of it, yes. That was my main prediction. It's like, it's 100% going to be like, oh, we think that May broke out and she's still in the closet by the end of the episode. I really hope they do something like that reveal is like super early, because it's so clear that that's what Radcliffe has planned, that she's going to be in a loop of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I don't want them to like bank on us like not having figured that out by like
it
now.
It would be kind of a bummer if like we go through the entire episode and it's like, oh, it's just
a dream.
Now, yeah, how many layers they'll do, like dream within a dream sort of deal, like she'll wake up like 5 times and we'll think, okay, is she out this time? Like, I'll be interested to see what they try to do to keep us on our toes. As far as the rest of it goes, yeah, that just looks like the Watchdogs and all of that. That's bad stuff is happening with Nadir, for sure.
I have a random prediction.
Go for it.
Those are
the
best.
Maybe it's a wish. Ada on Ada fight.
Ooh.
I feel like that's something that could possibly happen.
Wait, Ada on Ada or May on May?
No, Ada on Ada. May on May has to happen.
Well, it's but already Ada, happened, yeah. So it should happen again.
Ada on Ada with the head and the recreation and possibly actually defending the way Fitz wanted her to. And that I feel like that's a thing.
Fitz could, you know, using his own, you know, side project, could create a new body for her.
Dark Ada versus original Ada on May, on Robo May's body.
Okay. And this is what I'm talking about. See, now, if that one comes true, at that point, you have an end with the writer. There's no...
At that point, Zach, stop giving us spoilers.
Yeah. There are other shows, this show not so much, but there are other shows at AfterBuzz where we're like 99% sure that they are reacting to stuff we've said, because there's like no way that like that came out of nowhere.
Hilarious.
Where it's just like, where's my check, guys? That's
hilarious.
Even just a creative consultant credit would be super.
Well, on the Atlanta after show, we know for a fact that they were watching because they would respond to us. Like, they would actually respond to us on the sly, like, oh, we're like, wait, you're one of the writers.
It's always weird.
You're on the show.
Because, I mean, all these shows are always just friends sitting and talking about a show that they love. So it always surprises me when one of the shows that I do, like, gets recognized by the creators or by actors on the show or writers, producers. It always surprises me. And it's always a delight whenever it does happen. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but whenever it does happen, I'm like, someone was listening? Even the fact that you guys comment so often and saying that you guys like the show, that constantly blows my mind every week. Anyway, I think it's time for us to go ahead and wrap it up for this evening. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
Hey, guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ThatZachWilson. Also, I do a show on Sundays with Jesse Klein called Sci-Fi Weekly. This week we're going to be talking about looking ahead at the year 2017 and what sci-fi movies and TV shows we have to look forward to. Also, check out my comic book Kid Cop that is available now on Comixology. Find the link on my Twitter page.
That's amazing. I am Taron all across the social media atmosphere, which is not an app, but it might be by the time I get back. I won't be here next week, but I will be here the following week for the Conan crew. So I'll be here for that. I'll be here to see how that plays out.
I trademarked atmosphere on my computer while we were doing
the show. Probably.
The atmosphere, patent pending. Guys, and don't forget, you can follow Jesse Klein at JessKlein1. He has a comedy show once a month. Be sure to check out his social medias to keep up with that. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.